Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Gen 40 Heater. Stay warm and save $50 on the Gen 40. Order today at EdenPure.com and use code word HOWIEDEAL. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, New England. Welcome to the Grace Curley Show. Happy Friday. Usually Fridays are happy for me because I treat myself to a donut. But today, I mean, my cup runneth over. There is so much justice being served in the news today. I don't even know where to start. My plan was to start with Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, because he got his comeuppance. The story's out. The bomb has dropped. He's a liar. And he did a terrible job, which for anyone listening to my show, you've known that for a few months now. But the mainstream media is just figuring it out. And thanks to someone on his staff making the biggest slip up ever, it's an incredible story, and we're going to get to it. We're also going to get to the Lincoln Project. I have Ryan Gerdusky on the show. They are also involved in a bleep show. That's the only way I can put it. They melted down last night on Twitter. Jared, I have to say, I was supposed to do a little bit of work last night, and I had Twitter open on my computer, and I know I should hate the app because it's Jack Dorsey, and it's, you know, liberal wokeness, but sometimes when the worm is turning on the left, it is, I can't believe it's free. Like, I'm watching Twitter, and people just dunk on Rick Wilson and Steve Schmidt and George Conway and John Weaver and Andrew Cuomo and Fredo Cuomo. And I'm just like, how is this app free? It was so fun last night. But then here I am thinking I'm spoiled with those stories. And I'm ready to give you guys all I have for those two big headlines. And I'm lining up guests. And then a new story drops. And I love this story. Remember TJ Ducklow? I do. Because during the Biden campaign, Joe Biden was not going to go on Fox. I think he went on once with Chuck Wallace. That's what he called him. And then he never went on again. And no one in his staff really went on either. They would go on Jake Tapper and, you know, Morning Joe, and they would get softballs. But no one was really getting any sort of tough questions. And that was until TJ Ducklow decided to go on with, I believe it was Brett Baer. So before we get into this TJ Ducklow story, which just broke, and it's a great story, I want to remind you guys about his moment, his 15-minute moment of fame. It was beautiful. It really highlighted just how unprepared the Biden staff were. So let's play TJ Ducklow in all of his glory, refusing to answer if Biden uses a teleprompter in local interviews. This is with Brett Baer on Fox. This is a flashback, cut 27.
End with this. Has Joe Biden ever used a teleprompter during local interviews or to answer Q&A with supporters?
Brett, we are not going to engage. This is straight from the Trump campaign.
Well, yeah, they're
points.
Using
and,
it.
And what it does, Brett, is it's trying to distract the American people.
I'm just,
from,
they're
from,
using
from
it. They
the
talk about it every day. Can you say yes or no?
That's because they talk about it every day, Brett, because they don't have a coherent strategy.
Well, you
strategy.
Have an answer. Yes or no?
Brett, they talk about it every day because they don't have a coherent argument for why Donald Trump deserves re-election, deserves four more years. We know that he lied to the American people. We know that he has not shown leadership during this crisis, and they are desperate to throw anything they can against the wall to try to distract from that fact.
I understand, but you can't answer the question.
Brett, I am not going to allow the Trump campaign to funnel their questions through Fox News and get me to respond to that.
Wow.
Snap.
So touchy. So sensitive. But it gets worse because he didn't want to answer if Joe Biden was using a teleprompter. He didn't really have to. It's one of those questions that we all know the answer to. We saw enough of the teleprompters and the reflections of the cameras, and it was just very obvious because you saw him sometimes without a teleprompter and it was like, whoa. But then it gets worse because then he was asked about packing the Supreme Court. And once again, This is a guy who's representing Joe Biden and is supposed to be giving answers to people who might vote for him, and he will not say boo on anything. This is cut 28.
The composition of the Supreme Court is a matter of our constitutional structure as a nation, and it is a materially important question. What is the Biden campaign stance on the composition of the Supreme Court? Is Joe Biden satisfied with it?
Sure. Well, look, I think it's important to take a step back and to talk about the fact that a number of things have to happen before this is a conversation that is really relevant. It's a hypothetical. And what is not hypothetical is millions of people are already voting in this election. The majority of the American people, in fact, believe that the person that's elected on November 3rd, that is who should appoint the next Supreme Court justice.
Well, considering that you're working for the person who wants to be elected on November 3rd, this is not hypothetical for the guy who wants to be president. What is the campaign's perspective on the composition of the court? This should be an easy question.
Well, look, what I mean by that is it assumes that this fight we are in right now, it assumes that we lose that fight. And we are focused on underscoring just how important what we're going to see this week is.
That's a non-answer. No answer to the Supreme Court. What you should gather from that is that that was one of Joe Biden's top guys. And he's a lightweight. He was on, I think those were the only two times they let him do any sort of interviews, because he started trending on Twitter right afterwards. It was like, duck low, duck low. And when Twitter allows something to trend that's, you know, anti-Joe Biden, you know that it's bad. Fast forward to this week. I hadn't heard duck low's name in a long time. And a story comes out that he is dating an Axios political reporter. Of course, it's a conflict of interest. And it's a story. I mentioned it like in a short segment. No big deal. No one's surprised that Joe Biden's people are dating reporters. I mean, they're all working for the same side. Then it gets really interesting. So TJ Ducklow is dating the political reporter from Axios. Her name is Alexi McCammond. And a Politico reporter named Tara Palmieri was trying to figure out the story. Her and another colleague were reaching out to Ducklow and McCammond and basically saying, can you guys confirm that you're dating? And TJ got a little ahead of his skis. And he, like in those interviews, he got very frustrated. I will destroy you. Biden aide threatened a Politico reporter pursuing a story on his relationship. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. So the confrontation began, and I'm reading from Variety. They already have a story out about it. Began on Inauguration Day, January 20th, after Palmieri, a co-author of Politico's playbook, contacted Alexi McCammond for comment while one of her male colleagues left a message for Ducklow. Ducklow tried to call Politico and say, do not run this story. And they said, you have to call the reporters. But he didn't call the male reporter. He called this girl, Alexi McCammond. And he just unleashed on her. I can't read some of the stuff he said. He said that she was jealous that somebody wanted to sleep with his girlfriend, who is Tara Palmieri, and not with Alexi McCammond. And it's an off-the-record phone call. I don't know if she recorded it, but it's a horrible, horrible look for this kid, this guy, because it was misogynistic, it was sexist, it was mean, and it was very typical of what I'd expect coming out of the Biden administration. And that's going to bring us to our poll question of the day, because I don't think TJ Ducklow is going to stick around for a long time with Joe Biden. Remember Joe Biden's rule. You cannot be rude or disparage anyone. Ducklow definitely did that. Guys, we'll be back on the other side. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
If you're ever working with me and I hear you treat another colleague with disrespect, talk down to someone, I promise you I will fire you on the spot. On the spot. No ifs, ands, or buts. Everybody is entitled to be treated with decency and dignity.
Is Tara Palmieri, does she deserve to be treated with decency? That's my question. And I think we should just do the poll question right now because it makes sense. And if Biden is a man of his word, his word as a Biden, then I don't think Duck Low's got a long time to go here. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Follinsbee Inn. Only seven, no, it's three rooms left for Grace's listener weekend beginning Friday, February 19th. This is a great Valentine's Day gift. To reserve your room, go to FollinsbeeInn.com. I'm super excited about that. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Will Joe Biden fire TJ Duck Low by the end of the day?
I'm going to say yes.
63% of the audience thinks no, he will not fire.
There's a good chance he won't because they are extremely arrogant. They don't get any pushback from anyone, so they feel like they can get away with everything. It's similar to Andrew Cuomo, where you would think, based off the size of the scandal, that this guy is done. And then someone said, you just wait. In May, the polls will come out. He'll be like 60% approval rating. These guys are like Teflon because the media is just so in the tank for them. But that quote where he said, if I hear you disparage anyone, I mean, it's written here, and Jared corrected me. I said Variety. It's actually Vanity Fair. This is what he said. I want to go back to this a little bit, I'll keep it PC because I don't want anyone coming after us. But he obviously said, I will destroy you, which is not very professional. I've never had anyone say that to me thus far. I will destroy you, Ducklow told her, according to sources, adding that he would ruin her reputation if she published the story about him dating Alexi McCammond, who's a political reporter, who he is dating. So it wasn't like it was a false story. During the off-the-record phone call, Ducklow made derogatory and misogynistic comments accusing Palmieri of only reporting on his relationship, which, due to the ethics question that factor into the relationship between a journalist and a White House official, fall under the purview of her reporting beat. So this is something that she reports on. She wasn't just being nosy or being annoying. This is like her job. He accused her of only doing this because she was jealous that an unidentified man in the past had wanted to have sex with McCammond and not you. Ducklow also accused Palmieri of being jealous of his relationship with McCammond. Palmieri had no prior relationship or communication with McCammond before calling her to report on the playbook item. The following day, an editor at Politico reached out to the White House about Ducklow's threats, spurring multiple conversations between the news outlets and senior level officials like our favorite, circle back, Jen Psaki and Anita Dunn. In one of those calls, senior White House officials acknowledged that Ducklow's handling of the call with Palmieri was inappropriate, I would say so, and said he would send a note to her apologizing for the comments. I think we're beyond a note. When someone tells you over the phone that they're going to destroy you, I think maybe flowers are in order. It's close to Valentine's Day. Anyway, I don't want to stay on Ducklow too long. I do find it interesting. I will be watching that story closely. If you want to call in 844-500-4242, now we're moving on to the big story of the day, which is Andrew Cuomo. This is really amazing. I want to play some flashbacks here. If you missed this, what happened was Andrew Cuomo's aide admitted that the nursing home cover-up was basically because, and Jared, if I'm mistaken on this, please correct me. It was basically because they were afraid if they told the truth that Donald Trump would tweet about it. And I want to give this advice to everyone out there. If you find yourself in a jam, whether it be legally or just, you know, in your regular everyday life, if you lie about something, if you get caught, we have an answer now. You don't have to apologize. You don't have to own up to anything. What you have to say is, I had to lie about this because I was afraid Donald Trump was going to send out mean tweets about me. And that is why I did it. And honestly, it's kind of foolproof. It probably will work. Am I missing anything about that? That's basically what she said.
They apparently were also afraid that it would reflect badly on the Democratic Party and cause them problems. That's what Judge Jeanine said, that was part of it.
Speaking of Judge Jeanine, I think we have sound from her. You know, she's great. She doesn't hold back. And there's a lot of people who deserve a lot of credit for never giving up on Andrew Cuomo and never failing to bring up his failures. And that includes Janice Dean, Joe Borelli, both of whom we're going to have on the show today. They will both be on. But also just a lot of people from Fox, a lot of people from Newsmax, a lot of people from the National Review, the Federalist, people who have just been reporting on this over and over again. And it's amazing, really, when these mainstream media outlets like CNN and Jake Tapper and all these people, they report on it like it's the first time. And they're like, oh, wow, it seems. I remember Chris Eliza said, oh, it seems that the narrative about Cuomo might have been off. It's like, Chris, I don't know how to tell you this, but when you find out about Hunter Biden in a few months, because you're clearly on like a delay here of getting information, you're going to be blown away because that's a treasure trove. So let's play Judge Jeanine laying into Andrew Cuomo. This is Cut 7.
What you had was a governor who is a liar. He's a political bully. And what he has done is he made a decision to infect the most vulnerable in our society by sending in COVID-infected patients. All right. That's a no-brainer right there. He knew what was going on. He signed the mandate.
Right. And we all knew that. But the real question became, which is an interesting theme in all of these stories, it's not so much the scandal as it is when people knew about it. It's the same thing with the Lincoln Project. This John Weaver thing is a big story. But the bigger story is that the other people in the Lincoln Project knew about this for a very long time. They're saying like August, July. But according to reports, this has been an open secret for years. Similarly, in this story, we all knew that this happened and we knew that they underplayed the numbers. But the question is, why and who knew that they were doing this? And this is what his secretary to the governor, Melissa DeRosa, said during the call. And I'm going to be going in and out of this all day, but this is basically what she said. She rebuffed a legislative request for the tally in August because, quote, right around the same time, then President Donald Trump turns this into a giant political football. He starts tweeting that we killed everyone in nursing homes. He starts going after New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy, starts going after California Governor Gavin Newsom, starts going after Gretchen Whitmer. And basically, in addition to attacking Cuomo's fellow Democratic governors, DeRosa said Trump, quote, directs the Department of Justice to do an investigation into us, and we basically froze. She's admitted now that they lied because they didn't want the DOJ looking into them. That's not a reason to lie. And the amazing part about this, you guys should check this out at the New York Post, is that a lot of the people on this call are Democrats, and they really laid into her, and they rebuffed her apology or whatever it was she was trying to say. Flat on its face, they were like, nope, not happening. Because these people all had to go out during their campaigning and answer for Andrew Cuomo. King Cuomo. And he's been like a dictator in New York. He's destroyed the economy. He's scared all the public health officials. And to top it off, he wrote a book and got an Emmy for it. So if you read the quotes from people, specifically this guy, Kim, I want to get his real, hold on here. Assemblyman Ron Kim, Democrat from Queens, who took part in the call, told the Post on Thursday that DeRosa's remarks sounded like they admitted that they were trying to dodge having an incriminating evidence that put the administration or the health department in further trouble with the Department of Justice. That's not an excuse. It's really amazing. We didn't want to get in trouble, so we lied. It's like a five-year-old. Let's play more Judge Jeanine. She did not hold back. This is Cut 8.
So what you've got is the bad act. You've got the cover-up, but now we've got the super cover-up, where his own secretary says, we withheld the numbers because we knew there was an investigation, or there probably was an investigation going on. Let me tell you something, Brian. If you want intent, you've got intent that's so strong here. There was already a circumstantial case. Now you've got an intentional case of cover-up, an intent to prevent people from finding out that this bully, this liar, this political operative killed 13,000 senior citizens in this country.
And that's the best part about it, is that because of this woman, or whoever leaked it, she said it, which was the big part, but someone else had to leak it out. They caught him red-handed. He's done. What's the expression? Your goose is cooked? It's over for him. We have it now. And when I was on Twitter last night, Janice Dean was so happy. And I was so happy for her. Both her in-laws passed away in nursing homes. And she was mocked and ridiculed by Cuomo and all his spokespeople. They all made fun of her. Weather girl, meteorologist, worry about the weather. She's so vindicated now. Because it's like the nail in the coffin for this guy. And don't forget his response when being asked about any of this. He never, ever showed any humility. He never apologized to people. He made it all about himself. And he said things like, let's play 22.
Look, whether a person died in a hospital or died in a nursing home, it's the people died. People died.
Yes,
a third of all deaths in this nation are from nursing homes. New York State, we're only about 28% only. But we're below the national average in number of deaths in nursing homes. But who cares? 33, 28, died in a hospital, died in a nursing home. They died.
Does anyone else feel just so relieved that for once the truth is coming out? Even if it's one thing. Like, I know that the mainstream media now has to pick certain people where they direct their journalism because they cannot direct it towards Joe Biden. So I know they're throwing certain people under the bus, the Lincoln Project, Andrew Cuomo. But I still don't care because I've watched this guy walk around like he's the absolute best person in the world. Santa's going to be good to me. Remember he kept saying that? So weird. And finally, he gets put in his place. And in a big way. And I'm just so happy about it. I want you guys to call in 844-500-4242. Am I the only one who's happy about this? I don't know. I know Janice Dean's happy about it. She's going to join us at 105. And then we've got Joe Borelli coming on in the 2 o'clock hour. So he'll also talk about it. Before I get to this read, though, Jared, let's do one more of Judge Jeanine. Let's finish it off. Cut 10.
I didn't open on this 3 weeks ago, and I talked about criminally negligent homicide. I talked about reckless manslaughter. I talked about the feds getting involved. And I said, you know what? Good for the attorney general in New York. But I'm not going to applaud her until there is a grand jury investigating this matter. The excuse they used was we're sorry that we caused political inconvenience to the Democrats in trying to explain this.
Yeah.
What? You're apologizing for the politics and not the deaths? It's an outrage.
I'll read that quote on the other side, but she's absolutely right. This woman, DeRosa, had a mea culpa. And it's strange because it's like the first time anyone from that administration has kind of admitted any wrongdoing. But the mea culpa was not sorry to all the families whose, you know, grandparents or parents died in the nursing homes because of our incompetence. The mea culpa was sorry this was so inconvenient for you guys. Sorry that you guys had to go out and defend this. Which, if I'm Janice Dean or if I'm someone like that Representative Kim, I'm just thinking to myself, seriously? They get the apology? The politicians? It's ridiculous. Guys, I have great news for my listeners. The Gen 40 heater is back and just in time for the really cold temps. The groundhog declared 6 more weeks of winter and the globe is not warming anytime soon, especially in New England. You need to start planning and that means you need the Gen 40 heater. Jared absolutely loves the Gen 40. Jared, can you tell everybody why you love it so much?
I love it because Joe Biden is terrible and the cost of oil has skyrocketed almost a dollar already. I said this earlier in the week, but in December, I filled up my oil tank at the house for $1.90 a gallon. I filled it up last week, $2.40 a gallon. And it's just, I can't do that. But the Eden Pure Gen 40 heater is great because you can supplement the oil. So I can keep the house at 63 all the time, and whatever room I'm in, I can just put in the heater, and it warms me up there. I save money, I'm warm, I'm happy, and I like the way it looks, honestly. It's kind of like an oval, and it's got a swivel, but it's all
cool.
Wood. It's really a sleek, nice...
I think we might have to get one for here so I can show people on the YouTube stream.
Absolutely.
Go to EdenPure.com, put in code word Howie Deal to get $50 off the sale price. That's EdenPure.com and use code word Howie Deal for an extra $50 off. These heaters are in high demand, so go right now to EdenPure.com. We'll be back on the other side with your calls. I'm Grace Curley, and this is The Grace Curley Show.
You can call her late for dinner. Just don't call her Gracie. It's The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. It is a wonderful Friday to be a Republican. The only thing I'm disappointed about is that Donald Trump's not on Twitter because, oh my God, He would be having a field day between Andrew Cuomo and Rick Wilson and Steve Schmidt. Do you know how many blustering monologues Steve Schmidt has given over the last few months on Nicole Wallace's show about Donald Trump and how anyone who likes Trump is terrible and needs to find a moral compass? And it turns out, like all of these left-wing organizations, all these elitist groups, they have a perv problem.
You like popsicles?
Yeah. They had a big-time perv problem. And they're also just freaking out on Twitter. Like, one reporter reached out to someone who used to work for the Lincoln Project and direct messaged her and said, hey, if you want to talk off the record, I'd be happy to... And I'll read you the exact tweets. It was something like, I'll be happy to block out your name so nobody knows, whatever. And somehow the Lincoln Project got this DM. I think they probably had access to the girl's Twitter or something. I don't know exactly how they got it. And they posted it on Twitter. And that is very unethical. And they don't care. And then they had to delete it. And they're just kind of spiraling. They know it's over. They know. You know how people say the gig is up? The grift is up. The Lincoln grifters, it's over for you guys. And I'm happy that you got a lot of money out of this, but it's not looking good. Mick, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Mick.
Hey, Grace, how are you? I love the show.
Congratulations. Thank you. Thanks so much.
Yeah, this whole Cuomo saga reminds me of Hillary Clinton's Benghazi hearing with the Senate.
Yeah.
And when she made the comment, you know, about the death of the ambassador and the three others, you know, and it was just like, what difference does it make? People died on that night. And, you know, and Cuomo was saying the same thing. These people are awful. They're just really, really awful.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the unfortunate thing about it is they'll just lay low, you know, long enough. The media won't do anything. And they'll just continue to go on. You know what I mean? It's awful. And a fine example is look what the governor, I can't remember his name, in Virginia. Blackface.
Northam.
And the other comments, but, yeah, Northam, yeah. Same thing. He's still there.
Yeah, yeah. It's no, crazy. I know. If it weren't for double standards, the Democrats would have no standards at all. Mick, that's a fabulous point, though, because I don't think anyone hears Cuomo say, who cares? You know, people died. And they don't think of Hillary Clinton saying, at this point, what difference does it make? That was her big moment with Benghazi. And here's the thing. It makes a big difference to people who that day lost a son or a husband or a father. Those people care. It makes a difference to them, but it doesn't make a difference to Cuomo because Cuomo was too busy going on CNN with his brother Fredo and doing the Smothers Brothers routines with massive Q-tips and talking about mom's meatballs and writing books and going on book tours and getting Emmys and getting Edward M. Kennedy Awards for inspired leadership from the Kennedy Center. This is what Andrew Cuomo was doing for the last year. And it's a real thing of beauty to see this guy get what he deserves. He deserves to be humiliated, and he deserves to answer for all of these deaths that he doesn't care about, obviously. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk more about the Lincoln Project. But I agree with you, Mick. I don't know if there's going to be any justice, but we're going to ask Janice Dean about it next. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.